Please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 9, and out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You may be seated. As we've been studying through the Beatitudes, and I was sick last Wednesday, so this is last Wednesday's message that we're getting this Wednesday, and let us remember that the Beatitudes are attitudes that we need to have as a Christian, or that we will have if we are a Christian, and it's how we need to think. In verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Remember, the poor in spirit is realizing that we have no spiritual wealth of our own, that we are spiritual beggars. We are only right with God because of what He does for us. And if we realize we have nothing to offer to God, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. We will mourn over our sinfulness, because our sin has separated us from a holy God, and we are spiritually poor. Blessed are the humble. We realize there's nothing we can do to please God, and so our attitude reflects that. We're not trying to earn God's favor, because we can't. We are beggars before God. There's nothing we can be proud about on our own efforts. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If we know that our salvation only comes from Jesus Christ, only comes from God, then we're going to want to learn more about that. We're going to hunger and thirst for what we do not have and cannot have on our own efforts. And if we realize we are poor in spirit and that we have to beg for mercy from God, we will be merciful to others. Blessed are the merciful. If we realize our sinfulness and we're mourning for our sin, we will seek to be pure in heart, doing what's right, whether anybody's noticing or not. And if we are meek, knowing that it's not our own efforts, but the efforts of God that bring us righteousness, we will seek to make peace with God and bring other people to peace with God. And if we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, only concerned about what God has to say, then it's not going to matter what other people say. And we're going to be persecuted because we speak the truth. As we looked at pure in heart, let me remind you from last time, that purity there is a term that's used for metals, refining the metal till there's nothing else except that pure metal, no, to use the term, impurities in a pure metal. I think I used the illustration about some gold. You told it it's 10%, 10 carat pure gold. Well, that's not pure gold. 10% or 10 carat is only 75% pure. That means 25% of it's other things, and many times copper's in there, and a 10 carat, not size 10 carat like a diamond, but 10 carat quality gold, a lot of times will leave a green ring where it rests because of that copper alloy in it mixing. Well, purity, we're to have purity of heart. It says, blessed are those that are pure in heart. There's no mix of alloy, no trying to bring God's teaching and the world's teaching and try to find a way to mix them together, as many people try to do. If we look in James chapter 4, James warns us of what our situation truly is if we try to mix the world and God's way. Look at verse 4 of James 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. We need, as it says in verse 8 of James 4, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to have a pure focus on God to be pure in heart. And it tells us back in our passage in Matthew, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And now we come to our passage in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, the peace here is not like the world gives. We don't have peace in this world right now. There was peace in the Garden of Eden. And there will be peace in all eternity after God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace, comes and brings peace. But we are in a sin-cursed world right now, where sin is dominant in the world. All you have to do is watch anything or listen to anything in the news, and you hear of sin being promoted as the new normal. Well, that's not peace with God when man tries to do his thing. But we have a God that's described as a God of peace. Look with me in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And verse 33. Paul is coming to a conclusion of his letter to the Romans. And he says in verse 33, may the God of peace be with all of you. Amen. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13, as he's coming to the end of this letter, as he says in verse 11, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, become mature, be encouraged, be of the same mind and at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, we need to realize that we're at war with God. Turn to James 4 again and look at verse 1. James 4, 1. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Then it goes to you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think it's without reason that Scripture says the Spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely, but he gives grace, greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We do not have peace in the world right now. Because peace requires that we're thinking about others above ourselves. We're told to think of ourselves first. Every day, I get to see more and more of thinking of yourself first as I deal with little 10 and 9 and 8-year-old sinners. They didn't have to be taught to think of themselves first. But their interactions with each other and with everybody else is me first. And if we look at our society as a whole, they grow up from 10-year-old me firsts into 20-year-old me firsts and 30-year-old me firsts and 40-year-old me first. And it's all about me first. There was a while back that I remember when I was in seminary and the term was very popular. You need more self-esteem. And talking to a friend of mine, Joe Davis, as we sat in the lounge at the seminary, says, no, we need more Christ esteem, not more self-esteem. We already think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We need Christ esteem. But when we have self-esteem, that leads to war. We have war not only between countries, and since the birth of Jesus, there have been about 15,000 known wars in the world, just in that 2,000-year period. But there are economic wars. You hear it, and you're going to hear it more and more as a presidential election comes up, because the rich are trying to take it from the poor, and they're trying to create a war between people on economic basis. Then you have the wars based on religious beliefs. Do you believe in Jesus, or do you believe in somebody else? And there are religious wars. We have people dying in the name of a false god in these religious wars. And then our country is trying to be separated along ethnic lines. This type of people, that type of people, all judged by the color of their skin. The exact opposite of the dream of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, I have a dream that one day my little children will not be judged by the color of the skin, but by the content of their character. And they flip that around so that people are judged now by the content, not of their character, but the content of melanin in their skin. Melanin is the chemical that makes you light or dark. And if you've got freckles, you just got little spots of melanin around. Well, we're trying to be divided along racial lines, economic lines, religious lines, social lines, political lines, family lines, and personal lines. There is conflict and war throughout our world, throughout our families. Just last week, we had a situation where a neighbor called the police because somebody was firing their gun and they wanted their child to be able to sleep. And this person was firing their gun at night. Well, police came over, told the guy to stop firing his gun. He goes and takes his gun and kills five of the people in the house that had called the police because he was firing their guns. And I just heard today that two of the children survived were under the bodies of their adults that were trying to shield them. The adults died, but the children lived. Peace we didn't even have in Montgomery County within this past week. And we hear, if you bother to look at the news, every night, it's not if someone's going to die in Houston, it's How many people are going to die in Houston? There's not peace in our area. There's not peace in the world. When you put yourself first, there is not going to be peace. Peace, however, is not an absence of conflict. Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but the sword." Because he's talking about the peace he brings is presenting the truth to a world that has the wrong definition. The good news is not understood until you understand the bad news. We are sinners. And when sin is confronted, there is strife. As we saw, blessed are the poor in spirit. It takes some conflict to go from being a self-focused, self-esteem individual to I'm a spiritual beggar. In James chapter 3 and verse 17, we're told that peace first comes from purity. We have to be pure in heart, concerned about what's right and striving for what's right in our attitude, not just in our outward action. The religious leaders in the days of Jesus, they had an outward purity. But Jesus says, you're like a tomb in the graveyard. They put the whitewash on the outside, but inside it's just dead men's bones. It looks good on the outside, but it doesn't look good what's on the inside. Describing what was in the hearts of the religious leaders. If we look at Hebrews chapter 12, we see the path of peace. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with everyone. Holiness and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to see God. And peace with holiness, right actions followed by right attitude. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, Isaiah the prophet tells us, there is no peace for the wicked. And in Mark chapter 7, echoing the words of Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Jesus talks about what comes out of the heart of man, that is. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. For from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a person. Our source of peace is only found in Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. Through the blood of Jesus, we have peace with God. I was reading a story about a tribe of cannibals in Indonesia. And a missionary was trying to reach them. But they were always at war, one tribe with another tribe. But the missionary heard a story about the peace child. If one tribe would give a child to the other tribe, there would be peace between those two tribes as long as the child lived. And the missionary used a story to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to these tribes of cannibals. Jesus is the Son of God, given to the world, and he is the eternal Son of God. He will never die. So he is the peace child from God, and we will eternally have peace with God through the peace child, Jesus. He was able to reach many of these tribes with the gospel, explaining that peace comes through Jesus Christ. We also see in Galatians 5:22 that God gives us peace as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus, he tells us, you will have peace in me, in John 16:33, because I have overcome the world. Now, we have been given peace with God, but we've also been called to be peacemakers. And there's where our passage, blessed are the peacemakers. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we've been given a job. We are ambassadors of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are given the job of sharing how to have peace with God. That's our job. And as an ambassador, we don't speak our own opinions. The ambassador for a country only speaks the message from his country. We are to speak God's message of how to have peace. And it says, back in our passage, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. We who seek to bring the message of peace are called peacemakers and sons of God. We're called Christians, which means little Christs. We are to emulate Christ and make peace with the world. We can't bring peace ourselves, but we can bring people to the Prince of Peace, and they can have peace through him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. But it's not going to be without difficulty, because people don't want to hear the truth. We need to proclaim the truth, regardless of how people respond. But we're also told, speak the truth in love. Not speak the truth so that we will be elevated, but speak the truth so God will be elevated. We want God esteemed in the lives of people, not self-esteem. And like the Casting Crowns song goes, it's, it It doesn't matter about me. I'm nobody. I'm trying to tell somebody about the one that saves my soul. I know I didn't get the verse right, but you get the idea. It doesn't matter if anybody remembers our name. They need to remember Jesus. We don't save them. Jesus does. We just need to tell the message of how to have peace. Because if we are a sinner, without the blood of Jesus, we're an enemy of God and destined to an eternity in hell. Do we love people enough to tell them the truth? Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for coming to your creation to bring peace. Peace to solve the conflict that was caused by our sinful lives. Lord, let us share your message of peace with others. In Jesus' name, amen.